Shalom. This is Shelley K. Baggett coming to you on a Voice of One Witness broadcast. And I'm here today with my wonderful husband, Dr. Thomas Benjamin Baggett III. But as we've already talked previously, we can call you
Tom.
Tom, honey, welcome back.
It's good to be here.
This week we've been talking about the miracle of our love story and how God has put us together to run the race. And these are exciting days, aren't they, honey?
They are exciting.
Jesus is coming soon. And we left off with the fact that Mother was peeling potatoes yesterday.
She was peeling potatoes, and you were going to tell me more about that potato story.
Well, you know, that was in 1971, and she was an editor of The Word of Faith, which is a monthly publication there in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And she had no idea that she would be owning property in Israel and conducting tours, and she didn't have a clue. But as she's peeling potatoes and preparing for our meal.
You know, that, I hate to interrupt you, but that is an amazing thing to realize that Billy Brim was, in her own statement, just a simple housewife, just mm-hmm. peeling potatoes, and God spoke to her at the kitchen sink. Mm-hmm. What God could do with each of us if we would just listen and hear God speaking to
That's
us.
That's it. As many as are led by
what
the Spirit of God.
What an army he could raise up.
That's the truth. And now are the times to let go and let God have his wonderful mm-hmm. way. And I know people may be listening who've lost it all through the crisis, the financial situation. But, you know, this earth isn't our home. And now it's time to be led by the Spirit of God.
That's right.
And do what he's called us to do individually and collectively. So when Mom heard it that day, it was a teaching that Brother Hagin was conducting. It was on a tape that was right there above the kitchen sink. And he was teaching on the three groups of people, as quoted in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 32, where it says, "Give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God." And then also where it says in Timothy, "Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." And she heard what seemed to be an audible voice to her, "If you remember this verse of scripture, it will keep your end time doctrine straight." And so she is now keeping her end time doctrine straight by recognizing God's three groups of people in their plan.
She does a really good job of keeping her end time doctrine
yes,
straight, doesn't
she? She does. She really does. And
She's just marvelous in her teaching.
She is. And I remember even as a 15-year-old girl and the Lord visiting me so in prayer one time, and he said, "The day will come that you will grace the pulpit." And I was shy then. It wasn't good news for me to hear that I'd be speaking in front of other people. But the Lord spoke, mm-hmm. and that's what he said. And he said, "Even your voice will sound like your mother's, because people who love your mom and wouldn't want her to come to their church, but maybe for financial reasons or whatever, they can't have her come. Maybe they're clear around the world and she mm-hmm. can't come. But the Lord says you'll be sent. Mm-hmm. And because of what I've equipped you to do," and that includes all the information that she's allowed me, you know, I've just traveled with her many, many mm-hmm. years and
sure.
know these things. She's a great teacher on the Israel's place, and they are the time clock. And how important it is for you and I as Christians to understand the day we're living in.
That's right.
And it didn't say that the church was God's time clock.
No.
When the disciples asked, "When shall be the sign of your coming?" Jesus said, "Behold the fig tree."
The fig tree.
And Joel chapter 1 definitely says Israel's the fig tree.
That's right.
So I married you, baby.
Mm-hmm.
And you married me. And you didn't quite have an opportunity to know all these things, but that was fine. And so you would ask
me. I had been in the ministry for a number of years.
Pastoring?
Since pastoring and evangelizing since 1988. And looking back, I can't say that it wasn't correct and accurate. It just wasn't as full as it is mm-hmm. today. And the Lord has...
Now, you never had been to Israel before.
I had never been to Israel.
There are so many pastors out there listening and evangelists who have never been to Israel.
Well, the love that you have for Israel, the love that your mom had for Israel, the love for my dad had for Israel, was always intriguing to me. And I loved Israel because I knew what Genesis 12 taught, But to really have it burning in my heart, I can honestly say I didn't know what I know today.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of prayers were prayed for, you know, my dad's children, my brother and myself and our children. And I firmly believe that those prayers that were prayed for Israel today have become applied into my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I've received revelation and understanding. Even our marriage has been,
I believe,
as a result of that.
Well, remember at the beginning of our marriage, and we'd plop up in bed, we'd have our Bibles, and you
mm-hmm.
would say, "Okay, Shelley, I don't get it. Tell me, what is this burning desire and righteous energy toward Israel, you know?" And I would begin to share it with you, and there was no anointing, was there, honey?
Well, there wasn't. And in fact, I remember asking you, just explain it to me. I need to understand and I love Israel, but I need to understand this drive that you have and this drive your mother has.
And it was so
for
funny.
Israel.
Oh.
And I remember coming to you with tears in my eyes, and we had just been married a couple months,
goodness.
And you said, "I am not anointed to teach you or to show you."
I've been invited to Bible schools and to teach, and there would be an anointing. But when it came to you as an individual, it was like a lead balloon. It was horrible.
Well, there was a reason for it.
Yes, there was.
There was an absolute reason for it. And I think what you should do is tell the listeners what you were secretly praying for me, because it made all the difference in the world. God answers prayer.
Yes,
folks, the Lord answers prayer.
Yes.
And Shelley was secretly praying a prayer in Ephesians, and explain what you were praying.
Well, I was so frustrated. I had tears in my eyes. Tom is a dentist. He'd go off to work, and I'd be sitting in my favorite chair and with my Bible in my lap, and I said, had my head down. I said, "Lord, why is it I could teach this other places, but my own husband, I didn't come out right," and he's so frustrated, and I am too. But I was reminded of his word and the prayer in Ephesians, and I began to pray, putting his name in it. And it says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 16, "Cease not to give thanks for Tom, making mention of him in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give Thomas Benjamin Bagot III the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him." And then I would pray that the eyes of Tom's understanding being enlightened. I knew that only the Lord could enlighten them, and that Tom may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power which he wrought in Christ, when he raised Jesus from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. And then I would read where Tom has been raised together with Christ, and pray that every day, but especially emphasis that the eyes of your understanding would be flooded with light. And then I stopped trying to preach to you anymore,
mm-hmm.
just stopped
mm-hmm.
it. I tell you, that was a word of wisdom from heaven, if ever there was for me.
Mm-hmm.
And weeks went by, just continued to pray this prayer. Didn't even tell Tom I was praying it for him necessarily. And all of a sudden, I think it was like 3:00 in the morning, you had been reading your Bible, and you woke me up, and tears were in your eyes, and the glory of God in your face. And you said, "I see it, I see it, I see it." The eyes of your
understanding. Well, I'm wiping tears now. It was so enlightening and so powerful when I began to read the Word of God through that understanding. And I then began to understand the three groups of people in the fashion and the way that your mother was explaining it. As she would minister and she would mention it, it didn't seem like it was really empowering anything to me. But when it struck home and I began to see things in the perspective that I'm no longer a Gentile, mm-hmm. thinking I was a Gentile at the time, that changed later, but mm-hmm. a Gentile after the flesh. But instead, I'm in the third group of people.
Right.
And I began to read the Word of God, understanding the third group of people in
the
a way
church.
That I, the church. Mm-hmm. So the letters, as I read the Word of God, I began to address the letters to whom they were written.
Right.
And each prophecy, everything that's written in the Word of God is addressed to somebody.
Yes.
And as I began to read it with that understanding, I began to realize that the Lord was going to give me further revelation, and he certainly did as time went on.
It did, and as time went on, we got invited to go to Jerusalem, Israel, to help conduct a tour for Living Word, Pastor Lenny Mac Hammond's church. And it was your first trip.
It was my first trip.
But before that, just a few weeks before we went, I think it's interesting, we went to a minister's conference in Texas. And as we were standing in line waiting to be served lunch, what happened?
Well, we were all wearing name badges. And my last name is spelled B-A-G-G-E-T-T. And a gentleman whose last name was B-A-G-G-E walked up and he said, "I wonder how closely we're related. We are related."
And
I
said, "No, he was from South Africa."
He was from South Africa. And all of my life, I had been told we were Scotch-Irish.
Hmm.
And my mother was German. And so my father was Scotch-Irish and my mother was German. And I would question from time to time why we didn't look Irish or Scottish. But we didn't really have a good answer for that. And my father didn't really have any comments or any real good answers. He just said, "Well, just the way that God made us." And so we didn't talk about it. And so this gentleman walks up and he says, "I wonder how closely we are related." And I said, "It depends on if you're from Scotland or Ireland." And he said, "Well, what difference does that make? You're Jewish." And
what did you think?
Well, it took me back. It startled me. And I said, "What do you mean Jewish? I'm not Jewish at all. In fact, I've found names in Ireland that are Bagot." And he said, "No, you need to research your family history." And so for a few days at that conference, that just kind of stayed in part, but it continued to work on my heart. And I went to the internet before we left the hotel in Fort Worth, Texas, and learned that our original family name had been changed in 1100 AD from B-A-G-O-D to B-A-G-G-E-T-T. It went from Bigot to Bagot. And that was the beginning of many more revelations.
So you were standing in line when this man approached you, and then a few weeks later, you're standing in another line in Jerusalem, and a man approaches you.
Yes, exactly.
And you've never seen him before.
Well, we're at a Christians United for Israel summit in Jerusalem, and a gentleman walked up and mentioned something about my name. And again, just 5 weeks later, another gentleman in a line's talking about my name.
You better watch these lines.
And
that
he said, "Is that the original spelling of your name?" And I said, "No, it's originally B-A-G-O-D." And this gentleman happened to be a rabbi by the name of Moshe Rothschild. And he said, "Let me show you your name in the Bible."
And he had a Hebrew Bible, a Torah, in his hand. And he showed it to you.
He did. He showed me that the word Gad in the original is Begad.
Mm-hmm.
And it means a troop has come or good fortune. And
so it's one of the tribes of Israel.
It's one of the tribes of Israel, and it's the tribe of Gad.
Mm-hmm. They were cowboys, too. Mm-hmm. No wonder you like to wear cowboy boots.
Ah, there you go.
Yeah, it's in the jeans. Well, and then what happened? By simply writing Billy Brim Ministries, P.O. Box 40, Branson, Missouri, 65615. Thank you for joining us. We love you and appreciate you, and have a glorious day. Shalom.